Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we get to talk about contact today, one of my favorite things in the art of construction, about moving this industry forward. And the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that contact tools better help our most valuable and, quite frankly, our most costly resource, which is our people, right? And how is this going to benefit you is that we're going to talk about solutions to simplify communication for all of you master facilitators. And so my perspective for today is that it's all about you, the tribe, people that make buildings work. But how do we get the right people in the right seats to figure that out? And as I was doing my due diligence and this great conversation we're going to have today, I saw this picture track in my mind as we just finished up the Super Bowl. And these are global and timeless fireside chats. But the world of like fantasy football, of living these fantasies, are just everywhere out there, right? And there's so many construction tools out there that come and go and have been around for a while. But what I'm so excited about is when I was looking at their website, they have a great website for this awesome company that we get to talk to about today called Rivet. And I was looking, and this picture track just hit me when it showed their roster and about scheduling and these different things. And it was like, wow. It's like they've done such a great job of gamifying and putting these different parts to say, whether you're an apprentice where you may take a gamble on one of those players when you're doing your fantasy draft, or tried and true, right? And at the end of the day, you don't know what you don't know, and we're all jaded by what we think we know, right? So I'll never forget, like, when I really thought I had fantasy football figured out. I was just getting into it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get all these magazines and all this stuff. And it was the worst one I ever had. And I was like, man, why is that? And then I went in and I looked, and I actually just looked at all of the research the following year and just looked at the numbers. And that's the part of, you have to put the people and the process all together. So what if you could turn fantasy football into a real thing? So we get to have the CEO, Ryan Meidel, as well as, good on them, they're bringing in one of their original partners and making this all come together, Carmen Cardillo, who's the GM of Ideal Electrical. So we're going to go talk with the origin story. Then we're going to be bringing in Carmen, who is key to making this all work, and one of the original investors and clients of this whole platform called Rivet. So without further ado, let's get to know a little bit about Ryan and Carmen. Have as much fun as possible about putting the right people in the right place and using this great platform called Rivet. Lock and load, tribe. Ryan, what's your favorite beverage?
So just generally, I'm a big fan of craft beer. And specifically, Double Rice IPAs. There's a really great one here in Detroit at a place called Motor City Brewing Company. It's their Drippa, which is a Double Rice IPA, and it's delicious. As I get older, I can't enjoy them as much as I used to, but that's my favorite.
Awesome. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
So I've actually traveled quite a bit. I lived nearly 4 years in Europe, but actually my favorite place is right here in the USA in the Rocky Mountains, Aspen, Colorado. Really just amazing proximity to the mountains, but also has all the trappings of society. So hiking, skiing, biking, but also like really good food and good drink.
I couldn't agree more. I had the luxury of going to the Aspen Food and Wine Festival 1 year and like hiking Maroon Bells, but yet also like being in that whole space. It's a pretty magical spot in the Colorado Rockies that I'm honored to live my life here out of Denver. So exciting stuff. But I haven't spent much time in Europe. So, right. That's why we ask those questions of where do you move and shake and make it all happen. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, you can kind of guess from my previous answer, you know, biking and hiking are right up there in the top, but also I'm just a technologist. So I love to buy, build, play, and kind of test all the latest technologies.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, it's an honor to have you here today. What is your story that led you to being the CEO at Rivet?
So I'm an electrical engineer by education, and I spent most of the last decade working in commercial lighting controls. initially at Bosch, which is a brand most of your listeners are probably familiar with, and then later at a small startup. So I've been working with commercial electrical contractors for a long time, and I've personally seen and felt their pain, you know, from fractured labor planning processes and all the miscommunications and issues that can snowball from that. I'm also a Midwesterner, and so being practical is pretty core to my mindset. So while other entrepreneurs are off chasing Ubers for this or AI for that, which will come to this industry in time, we chose to focus on what I think is like a very real and practical need for labor operation software that's really purpose-built for the construction industry, and foundational software that really helps companies run existing parts of their business better. And it's not an insignificant part either. You know, labor is 40 to 60% of budget or revenue on a job. And when we got started, there were no good solutions out there for commercial and industrial, specifically focused contractors.
I love that, right? Like, and you kind of hit it. Let's go to the less shiny objects and go to like find the biggest pain and fix it, if I'm hearing you right. So Ryan, I'm super excited. Tell us what Rivet is all about.
Yeah, so Rivet is a labor operations software platform for commercial and industrial construction contractors. And what this means is scheduling, dispatch, forecasting, and workforce management. And just to put a spotlight on the name for a minute, you know, a rivet is a permanent strong connector, often used in construction and infrastructure. And we chose the name for like three reasons. You know, first is the theme of being a connector. So we connect all these disparate processes, and we'll talk a little bit more about who our users are at our customers that makes the whole stronger. Rivet also creates stronger connections between companies and the people that make those companies work. And you talked a little bit about the fantasy football kind of like analogy, like that's really core to our vision for the industry. And then sort of as a bonus, Detroit, which is where we're based, has all this storied history of Rosie the Riveters who manufactured tanks and airplanes here during World War II. And so that was kind of like a bonus in choosing the name Rivet.
I'm glad you unpacked that a little bit, because a lot of people have heard about Revit, and Rivet is the actually doing the work versus the Revit is these digital tools that may or may not actually ever get built. So I love the fact that let's talk about how these permanent things can really come to life, right? And so talk to us about who Rivet is made for and its ideal users.
Yeah, so Rivet was built with and for operations teams at specialty and multi-trade contractors that do really specifically commercial industrial work, because that's like where there was a big, big gap in the market. And we started with electrical, and that's our biggest customer segment, but we now also serve mechanical and GC self-performs also. We've got five core user groups that are customers: the operations teams, safety teams, project managers, the field, and then naturally executives as well.
Great. So can you give us some clear-cut examples of how Rivet is used in the office and the field to kind of set some context of how the platform works?
Yeah. So first, I need to revisit the four users. So on the operations side, right, superintendents or, you know, director of operations, they plan, schedule, dispatch, and broker labor transfers between jobs. Safety teams manage trainings, certifications, and skills. Project managers forecast long-term labor needs on their jobs when the jobs are ramping up and the jobs are coming down. The field, typically general foreman and foreman, you know, they receive their roster digitally and they can mark workers as absent, request additional labor, and they can flag workers to be transferred off a job when a job is going to be ramping down. And then executives can
people, they always show up on time and they're never later. Have issues with that, right? So you can manage that, right?
Exactly. Awesome. This stuff's happening all the time, right? But, you know, with a digital tool that's really built for the industry, you can make those in-flight changes and in-flight decisions with minimal disruption to your business and prevent those snowballs from rolling downhill and cascading into something bigger and worse. And then here are a couple of my favorite ways that Rivet is used. So let's say you want to find someone for a job that's been a specific facility before. So a big refinery, for example, you know, it's really important you have somebody that knows their way around. Well, Rivet has every worker's entire job set history searchable in their profile. And so you can make that tactical decision, make sure you're sending someone to that job that knows their way around. You want to find out if you got qualified workers near a job you're bidding. You can use our map to pin a job and search for either current or former employees that live within a radius around that job. So you know, as a business owner, whether you can staff that job appropriately. That can also help you win business too on the bid, being able to show customers that you actually have staff like in the proximity to the job, so they know people are going to show up. If you want to find out who's going to come to your job site today from your truck, right? You're a general foreman, rivet your digital roster on your phone. You got no-shows, you can request additional workers right there. And then, you know, if you're transferring 20 people from one job to another, informing everybody that's going to be transferred, the supervisors in the job they're coming from, the supervisors in the jobs that they're going to, and you can do this all in just a few clicks and a lot more.
Awesome. Well, great job, Ryan, teeing this up. Let's bring in our sidekick here for the conversation today, Carmen, our GM at Ideal Industries. Welcome here. We're super excited to have you bring your perspectives to this conversation. Carmen, what is your favorite beverage?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, Devin. It's good to be on. You know, I'm a big bourbon guy. I got into drinking bourbons, I don't know, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, right at the time that the craze started, it seemed. And yeah, I've really taken a liking to it. Unfortunately, my bank account has not taken a liking to it because it's a pretty expensive hobby. But over the years, I've created quite a collection, and I really enjoy it. Yeah, it's a big passion of mine now.
Awesome stuff. Well, we definitely all share the same interests. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
You know, it really not one single favorite place. I've been fortunate enough. I have three children, and all of them are athletes. My oldest son, he played baseball into college. My middle child's a daughter. She's a senior in college, and she competes in track and field. And then my youngest son's a senior in high school, and he played football, and he also competes in track and field. So the majority of my life, you know, with children has been chasing them around. And, you know, being fortunate enough that they've played at a high level, we've gotten to travel to some pretty cool places around the country. So I can't put my finger on one favorite place because they're all special to me, just because when you get to go and watch your kids compete, it's pretty special.
Good stuff. And what do you like to do outside of construction?
I talked about watching my kids, and obviously that's my biggest passion. But outside of that, I enjoy golfing. And I will tell you, I'm probably pretty enthusiastic about it, just from the standpoint of the way that I golf. I get to see every inch of the golf course. You know, a lot of guys just walk a straight line, and I go a different direction, and I get to see the course. But I also, outside of that, I love to hunt. I'm a big hunter. Our family's big into hunting. And then I love to cook as well. So a couple hobbies, a couple things that'll keep me busy, you know, long after the kids are gone.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining the story. What is your story that led you to becoming the GM of Ideal Industries?
Yeah, you know, I've been in manufacturing for the majority of my career. I've only worked for three companies now, including Ideal. I started off my career in the automotive industry as a tier one supplier to Ford and General Motors. And then I spent about 20 years of my career at a company that designed and manufactured suspension systems for the commercial vehicle industry with a really heavy focus on construction vehicles. So your dump trucks and different things like that. And after I was doing that for a while, I had an opportunity to come to Ideal. And like the commercial vehicle, the suspension company that I worked for, Ideal is a family-owned business. They have a lot of the same principles and values that the company I had worked for, you know, had as well. And it was an opportunity for me to spread my wings a little bit and get into, you know, more business leadership. So I decided to take that path. And Ideal is a pretty good company to work for. I'm really glad that I made that move.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about what Ideal Industries is all about?
Yeah. Ideal is, it's actually been in business for over 100 years. It was founded in 1916. And the name Ideal actually came from our original founder and the founding principle, which is that he had a strong belief in what he called ideal relationships. And that was with employees, with the community, and with his customers. And the other big belief that he had was that every product was supposed to be worth more than its price, and that service was a part of that product. And so when you look at it from, you know, over a century, right, just founding it on those values about relationships, our community, our customers, and that service being a key part of the product. It's a really good story, and those values have carried on over the years. We've really been serving the electrical industry since 1929. That's when we introduced our first wire connector. And since that time, that's really become a cornerstone of who we are and what we're known for in the industry, right? It's the cornerstone of our product line is our twist-on wire connectors. But throughout our history, we've really been like a leading product innovator, right? And we've always advanced the technologies. And today, we manufacture and distribute a very comprehensive line of professional grade wire connectivity and installation products. We have some training services and really getting into more productivity solutions, which, as we'll talk about later, is really what led us to our relationship with Rivet as well. And when we look at like where our focus is, we really focus on the electrical industry. We specialize in products that help electricians perform their job in a safe and efficient manner. And when you look at it from a wire pulling, cutting, stripping, terminating, and testing, those are all of our core strengths. And really, our products were leaders in the industry.
What a cool story, right? And how this all comes together. So, Carmen, what is Ideals Industries' relationship to Rivet? And I really love your T-end where it's all about relationships as a company, and now it's coming back to the people that make it work. So talk through how the relationship with Ideal and Rivet works.
Yeah, as Ryan mentioned earlier, Ideal, we're one of the initial investors in Rivet, and really we've helped them make connections in the electrical industry through our field sales team. And then we also have, you know, quite expansive relationships with distributors, contractors, and schools. And because of the common goal of really providing solutions to the industry, Rivet has now actually become an integral part of our product and service portfolio, something that we want to continue to bring out to the industry to help grow our value with our customers, right? Whether it be the schools, the distributors, the contractors, that's where our relationship is. And we decided to get involved with Rivet early on because we absolutely believe in what they're doing. They're trying to solve a problem that we all have, right? We all experience, and joining forces with them makes us a better company.
I love that. It's kind of like run to what you really do well, but we all got to be running to the relationship, right? So like, you know, find the biggest pain and fix it, and with wire nuts, but yet then how do you have the people that use a lot of those all come together and actually train to have the right size and the right wire all coming together? Sounds simple, but I think about, you know, I just finished redoing my house, and I multiple times when the electricians are like, do you got any more reds and the yellows? No, I don't have any. It's this constant thing when they're pulling wire. It's just like, wow, it's just fascinating. Right. So, Carmen, and then we're going to send it back to Ryan. What is your vision for the future of the specialty trades in general, as we zoom out a little bit from electrical work?
So, you know, when I look at it, right, the work that the skilled trades, men and women that are out there do, it's very difficult, probably impossible to replace, right? But the coordination of that work can really be greatly improved. And the future really is getting the right technology to effectively coordinate everything that the field needs to execute on their job. And a lot of that, you know, comes into identifying what that non-value-added part of the tradesperson job is and either automating it or eliminating it so they can really focus on what their skill is. That's the key, is getting those, you know, the skilled tradespeople doing what they do best and what they're trained to do.
Well said. Ryan, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think for us, what we'd like to see and what we think we're helping enable together with Ideal is making the specialty trades careers of choice, especially for a new generation, you know, that's grown up around technology, grown up with a smartphone in their hands or tablets in their hands. Technology is really important from a perception standpoint that a career or an industry is really cutting edge. And, you know, technologies like Rivet help change that perception. And we think that over time, you know, young people will be looking at this industry and feel like it's exciting and cutting edge.
That's such an important thing that I want to kind of expand a little bit on, right? As you know, Scott, who does the editing for all the podcasts, he's the first one educated me on being a digital immigrant, meaning this evolution of what you're used to, right? Of being stuck in the middle of this to where, you know, my stepfather that raised me and what taught me what I know, he's very into technology, but they didn't grow up with technology, right? They didn't, that wasn't the standard thing. And if I heard you right, Ryan, you said, you know, they're walking in expecting the smart devices to be the day-to-day part of their business. And then in reality, we talk that talk like it is, and then they go out to actually do it. And it's not that way. In the majority of construction, it's just this dichotomy of moving this stuff through to be tech forward instead of let's figure out how technology can eventually work. And the reality of this, you go back many podcasts we've done about this. I think about, I think about the whole deep dive series we did with Alice Technologies, and the founder of Alice talked about how hard AI and this stuff is. And what really makes it hard is because construction is so complicated. There's so much to it, right? I think about when I looked at the IDEA website and you see a bunch of wire nuts, but yet the big picture of like the devil's in the details, if you don't have that right connection, you can't move the whole thing forward. And it takes a lot of bandwidth to have the right connection. So then you have to simplify to multiply. So am I with the same vein there, Ryan, when you talk about how kind of digital forward that it's Steve Burrows, we're having coming up on the podcast again, where we interviewed him at Digital Build Week. And he talked about how it's the greatest time to be in construction if you're paying attention to this stuff that we're talking about right now. Because if you're not a company that's moving to be digital forward, you're going to be left in the dust. And it's like, it was this thing that took some time to get movement, but it's fully here now. And I think about that when we were doing our pre-interviews and heard like, the days are long and the years are short sometimes, right? We talked, Ryan, with your team a couple years ago, and it's like we have to get our platform and our content and our marketing messaging to the right level to then make it actually move forward. And shout out to Carmen and the team at Ideal to actually pull you through and work together. Am I understanding kind of how this journey has went? Am I hitting that on, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Carmen, anything you'd add to that?
No, I think you were spot on. I think it was important for us to partner with Rivet for a couple of reasons. If you don't mind, I want to talk about some of that real quick. But, you know, the first thing is really providing that service and solution to our customer, right? It's number one. And we had talked about it earlier that one of our goals is providing productivity solutions. And when you look at what Rivet is doing, it's actually a solution to one of our customers' most challenging issues that they face on a daily basis. So partnering with them made perfect sense, right? It totally increases the value that we can collectively bring to the customer. The other piece of it, we talked about, right, connecting the industry, right? And when you look at Ideal's products, they're geared toward connectivity from an electrical standpoint, right? But in the past decade, we've really focused on helping the industry attract and retain professional electricians through a bunch of different methods. We have an Electricians National Championship. We have a virtual reality training system. And we've got a foundation now that is focused on helping educate underprivileged youth and others on the great careers that are available in the trade. So it's really, you know, a good connection with Rivet to extend that. And last is really just that extension of connecting the industry as it relates to that career-long connection. And throughout the electrician's career, there's so many changes and requirements from the time they're an apprentice, they become a journeyman or a journeywoman, right, a master electrician, and so on, that they have to go on through ongoing certifications, annual trainings that make a solution like Rivet even more important to the industry, right? From the schools to the electricians, contractors, and inspectors, which are all important customers to Ideal as well. So it's just a perfect fit in why we wanted to do what we were doing.
Carmen, I'm curious, why do you think electrical contractors are some of the first to flock towards Rivet?
So I think the easy answer, right, is because that's where our focus has been, right? And sure, we're the ones pushing it. But to go a little bit deeper, right, in all seriousness, I think it's a growing vertical that tends to be more of an early adopter of technology, right? And when you think about all the technological advancements that we've seen over time, right, there's a consistent theme, and that is you still need energy, right? And so when you look at, you know, the electricians in the electrical industry in total, they've been on the forefront of bringing a lot of these new technological advancements to fruition from the beginning. And so they've been able to actually see the benefits of technology firsthand as they're installing it and utilizing that. And so I think that it's just natural for them to gravitate towards it and say, hey, I've seen it work in these other spaces. Why not utilize it to benefit our industry as well?
Got it. Ryan, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, to echo a little bit of what Carmen said, electrical contractors tend to be a little bit more of an early adopter technology. And I'd say just because of our focus on user experience, Rivet's actually pretty simple to use compared to the work electrical contractors are performing in the field every single day. And so that helps. But also, you know, the electrical contracting space is pretty homogeneous in terms of just the complexity of the companies and the differences there are in the way that they run their operations compared to a lot of the other trades in construction. You know, electrical is also one of the largest standalone verticals. And it's also the largest like group of companies that have a similar set of a process in construction. As you know, a lot of the other trades, there's less standalone businesses. A lot of them get rolled up into multi-trade or into self-performs. And that just creates a lot more operational complexity. And for a small company that's growing quickly, it's a lot easier for us to stay super focused. And so, you know, being focused on electrical means that, you know, we have a more refined solution for a really specific customer set. And over time, obviously, we're serving more. And as I mentioned earlier, we have electrical, mechanical, and some self-performed customers. But, you know, the real bulk of that is electrical, because that's really what we've been focused on as a business.
And that's really important on a platform, because you have to niche in so that you have people that are actually using it and people that are empowering people to actually use it to move it forward, right? And once you get the case studies and you start getting all this data put together, then you can start looking outward, right? Ryan, you talked at the beginning about how, you know, after years of compiling this data and being able to go look at it, you really can, it can track that and you can really use that as a beneficial tool. What do you see as some of the big benefits for the trades as you've been spending these years gathering all this project data?
Yeah, at a high level, I think better operations data creates more predictability, which can actually help drive down overall construction costs. And I think the second point is that actually higher quality of life for construction workers, technology and the data allow workers to work closer to home, creates more predictability in schedules, which means more consistency of work. So I think it's kind of like two things. I think one, it can actually like help drive down overall costs for projects and profitability of projects, but it can also create higher quality of life for construction workers.
Well said. Carmen, anything you'd add to that? Unmute, Carmen.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think that, you know, Ryan, he's very articulate and says it very well. And I think that some of it goes back to, you know, what we discussed previously with respect to, you know, project coordination and automating or eliminating some of the non-value added work that goes on. And with each project, it brings its own set of challenges, right? And when you're done with a project, there's a list of successes and challenges that you can track and analyze to identify common themes or issues that can be improved upon, right? And whether it's labor planning, scheduling, or ordering of products, tracking tools, there's so many facets that go into every single project that if we can track the data and improve our ability to track the data and analyze the data, it's going to give us a better opportunity to make improvements as we go forward.
Love it. All right, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You said at the beginning it was kind of ideal and been working together, and here we are. Ryan, when did you launch the platform? How many years ago?
we started working on it in early 2020, but we didn't get our first paying customer until late 2021, which is, you know, probably why we took so long to come back to you to do an interview on the podcast.
All good. So, you know, days are long, years are short. So let's talk 3 years. So this 3 year picture,
yep.
Carmen, what is Ideal Industries' long-term goal for the trades as it relates to your partnership with Rivet?
I think the key for us, right, and when we look at our long-term goal, is really creating those career-long relationships and connections with our customers. Right, being able to have a positive impact on the industry's ability to attract and retain the skilled trade people for generations, right, through our reach with the schools, distribution channels, contractors, and electricians, and being able to work collectively or collaboratively with Rivet to accomplish that. That's how we see that relationship moving forward.
Love it. And Ryan, what's yours with Ideal?
Yeah, so just really focusing on Ideal, because Ideal is, you know, again, we view them as the most respected brand in the electrical trade. What we want together with Ideal is to make Rivet the standard for labor operations in the electrical industry.
I love it. There you go. I love it, Ryan, putting your big, hairy, audacious goal right out there to be the standard. I love it. So as we work on closing this thing out, first Ryan and then Carmen, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology when it comes to construction?
All right, so I've got two parts. First, kind of digitally, I'm going to use a digging analogy here, but we're going to like call it digging for data anyways. You know, before Rivet, this was like digging with your hands. Today with Rivet, it's like digging with your hands, or not digging with your hands, sorry. I'm going to stop, say again. Today with Rivet, it's like digging with a really nice shovel. You still got to do most of the work, but it's a lot easier and you're going to get where you want to go faster. And then tomorrow with Rivet, and this is kind of like the crystal ball, it'll be like digging with an excavator. It's 100 times faster and better, and you'll get where you want to go almost instantly. And this is going to really come from taking the next step. You know, first step in the industry is really getting people on a digital platform so that that data can be collected and aggregated to improve their operations. And then the next layer will be to, this is when we will actually get a chance to like layer on top things like machine learning and AI, so that instead of having to manually sort through and filter through all this data to find what you want, you can just ask the computer. And in Rivet's case, you'd ask Rosie, which is our digital assistant, show me the next week that I got 5 workers available with confined space training that live within 20 miles of Lansing, Michigan, and you'll get exactly what you want, right? And like, that's the future. That's the future that we're building. And I think like, you're going to see that kind of throughout the entire industry.
I love it. I and the closeout, you really got my mind thinking. Thank you so much, Ryan. Carmen, what's your take, or what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
You know, I'm going to stick with the theme that I've been going with the whole time. And I really think it's about job and project coordination, bringing on digital tools, instructions, linking BIM data to automated ordering, enhanced where to buy functionality, whether it's through your phone or through other digital tools that you have, really getting the products, tools, and people to the job at the right time. Like I said earlier, right, the actual work that the skilled tradespeople do, you're not going to get rid of that. We're always going to need that. But taking away the non-value added items through technology that allows them to focus on what they do best and what they're trained to do is where I see the future of the industry, right? It's they're going to do what they are best suited for, and we're going to have technology that helps eliminate the items that keep them from doing that.
Love it. All right. The final thing we always ask, Carmen, and then Ryan, you're going to close us out here. What is the one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
Don't be afraid of the technology. Utilize it and utilize the data to drive improvements, eliminate the non-value added work, and put a greater focus on the efficiency and effectiveness of all your projects through what's the most important, which is your people and your products.
Ryan, bring us home.
Yeah, there's no coordination with Carmen on this, but really like pulling out the non-value added work. You know, one of the keys to growing any business is giving your best people more time, and software gets them more time. And growing the business is a really easy return on investment for anybody. So that's where I'd say that's the focus. You're buy your best people more time and do it with software.
Awesome. We'll make sure to put contact information in the show notes on how to get in touch with Ryan and the team and talk with Rosie the Riveter over at Rivet. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Devin. Great meeting you.
In flight changes. We have to have the right tech to coordinate needs, and then we have to automate the non-value stuff. I loved how they talked about how we can figure out how to break through the ceiling and really manage that data to figure out what we do best, right? And so the part that really hit home for me is that I've been, you know, there's so much forever on social media, and Carmen talked about how he was in heavy equipment, right? And you see this stuff on social media where you have this huge, big, heavy piece of equipment, like cutting up a tiny little pizza to showcase like the mass scale and the precision, right? And the statement that really stuck out to me was the digging for data. And so, you know, we talked a lot about on the podcast over the years about the 800-pound gorillas of Revit in the A silo to Rivet in the execution silo to the Alexa or the Amazon effect. You know what? We have to all figure out to know what to ask the Alexa or maybe the rich in the niche of Rosie the Riveter. And at the end of the day, Tribe, it's all about linking you. And that's what Carmen and Ryan, that's what it's such a cool story about how they're taking legacy businesses. And Carmen talked at length about the origin story about the person of really, when it comes to customer intimacy that we're passionate about here on the Art of Construction and branding this stuff so that you can understand how to work with Rosie the Riveter, because you cannot be afraid of our good friend Rosie over at Rivet. Crush it out there, Tribe.